Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
Can you tell me about that moment of liberation when children are freed and maybe had no expectation that they would be?
They could not comprehend the freedom on the first go because they have never seen, they have never experienced it. So it's a shock for them. But once they realize that they are free to be children again, they are free to go back to their parents, they are free to do whatever they like, it's so amazing experience. I would say it's divine experience to see the first smile of freedom on the face of a child and the tears roll down on his face of joy. I can witness a glimpse of God on that face, in those tears, in that joy of freedom.
What kinds of questions do children ask when they're in that moment and realizing that everything is about to change?
In many cases, they are traumatized. Sometimes when they are accompanied with the parents or we go along with the parents to free them, they are shocked because they were told that if your parents come to take you back, they would be killed. So sometimes some children refuse to recognize that they are our parents. It's quite difficult, but after some time they realize that they are truly freed, they are really going to be with the parents, then they start crying, they start hugging them. And if we go to, say, liberate 10 children and suddenly we find them 50 children, they look at us and they want to be freed. So we have to free all of them. And then we have to make sure that they are safely repatriated back to their homes and reunited with their families and parents.
How much resilience do you see? How can children take these burdens into their adult life? Some of the scars are permanent, yes?
Definitely, because the childhood which is lost during those years could not be brought back. When I free them and try to convince them, after consoling that you can go back to school, you can do whatever you like, you can play, many children ask, it is not possible because we are no more children. 12, 13-year-old girls and boys say that they are no more children. But slowly we have to ease them and we have to tell them that they are still children and they can enjoy their childhood and life. This is the beginning when we free them.
What's it like for someone who lives in an environment where children are enslaved? It's hard for me to imagine day in and day out being that cruel.
Yeah, these people who enslave them normally have a criminal mindset. And some of them have no idea about laws and guarantees, national or international provisions for the protection of children. A few of them still think, like those who keep children as domestic help, they think that they are doing some good for those children because if these children don't work with them, they will starve or they will be criminals, so better that they are working with us. And that becomes much more difficult when these people are well connected with the authorities and they are able to influence and bribe those authorities easily. Since they are earning huge amount of black money or illegal money, and that's why it makes them more criminal and more powerful.
What does it say to you when you've encountered people who clearly would be happy to kill you to keep you from doing what you're doing? You've had that experience.
Several times, actually. Many a times they took out the gun and put on my neck or head. Luckily, they did not shoot me because of one other reason. But of course, they have hit me and attacked me badly. I have my broken left leg. I have my broken right arm, my shoulder. I lost two of my friends. One was shot dead and one was beaten to death. So it's always risky. But I know that one has to pay the cost of freedom. One has to pay the price for it. If not me, then who? And whenever I free a child, I think that it's a small victory of liberty over slavery. And I think that I'm freeing myself by freeing a child, whatever dangerous it is.
What is it that makes for a fertile ground for child slavery? What enables it to happen?
It's most shameful that 5.5 million children are still working as slaves globally. And that's why we are asking the authorities and the international community to give the priority to it. Definitely, it's a combination of several factors, including abusing the and manipulating the poverty conditions, the illiteracy and ignorance of the parents, then in some cases, in some countries, the social customaries, as well as social discrimination in the name of caste system and apartheid. So combination of several things. But the most challenging factor is the greediness of the employers, because if they can find the cheap or free laborers as children in mines or factories or farms, they can easily earn huge amount of money without paying anything to those children. Then the lack of political will and the widespread apathy towards the most neglected, the most ignored people of the society. And that becomes a mindset which continues this further, and the number of child slaves still remains same.
I want to ask you what it's meant to have the Nobel Prize before we go. You know, I can think of a lot of things that may have changed for you as your profile has been raised, but this is really the question that comes to mind. Are there children over the last 30 years who you've never been able to reach, who are in places that are too dangerous to try and liberate them? And does the Nobel Prize suddenly become a shield for you to try to go places that you've never gone before?
Definitely. First of all, it has been the biggest recognition to the most neglected, most exploited and abused and deprived children on the planet. So it has given a big impetus on this issue, as well as it has strengthened all those activists and child rights workers who were trying to change the lives of these children and wanted to bring freedom and smiles and childhood back to them. They feel very, very empowered. In political terms, we are seeing much more response from some of the leaders from the governments across the world, as well as from the UN agencies. So child slavery has to be brought in priority. That has been my demand, and it is gaining a lot of support now from all walks of life, and that is the significant difference one can see.
Does the Nobel give you a suit of armor?
Definitely. It is. It has given. It has given bigger voices to the cause, and nobody can ignore those children who are still in slavery in the world. And I've been always saying that I am none but the spokesperson. I'm the representative of these children who remain invisible, voiceless, nameless, faceless. So what I'm saying is not my voice, it's the voice of millions of voiceless children.
Kailash Satyarthi is the 2014 Nobel Peace Prize winner, children's rights activist, a prize he shares with Malala Yousafzai. Kailash Satyarthi, it's so great to talk to you, and our prayers and wishes that indeed your dreams, that should be the dreams of all of us, come true.
Thank you very much. I'm sure that this dream is going to come true in my lifetime.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.